I'm Randy Thurston with Pueblo Riverwalk Talk, and Pueblo Riverwalk Talk is about Pueblo. It's about the people of Pueblo, and it's about what makes Pueblo special. And every once in a while, I get some really interesting insight on somebody that may have come from another city that has some roots in Pueblo and has something very special to share. So today, I'm with Brian Soleil. Brian, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
And Brian was born and raised here in Pueblo.
Indeed.
Graduated from Pueblo West, which, again, is not quite Pueblo, but we still accept you guys.
It's appreciate it.
But with Brian, he lives in Los Angeles, and he's a screenwriter. And when I hear the word screenwriter, obviously you're involved in films and movies and video and things of that nature. And with the new technology of today, with the speed and the connectivity where we can connect, is pretty phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely.
So explain to me what a screenwriter is.
Yes, a screenwriter. So a screenwriter is somebody who, I mean, it doesn't have to be somebody in Hollywood. It could be somebody, it's anybody that is writing material for the screen, for a visual medium. So you could be writing for a TV show, you could be writing for a movie, you could be writing for a reality show, because a lot of reality show is actually scripted.
Really? Because people take reality shows as just on the fly.
No.
But that's not the case. That's
not always the case.
Really?
You have to hit certain parameters, and sometimes you need an outline, and I've never done it myself, of course, but that is a way, that's another form of writing. So screenwriting is just really just writing for the screen. A lot different from other forms of writing, like novel writing or prose, poetry, anything like that. This is a little, if you've never read a script before, it's very interesting to read. The format, it's unique in its element, but I enjoy it, of course.
Well, obviously you're a natural at it.
Well, I have a degree in screenwriting, so I enjoy it, absolutely.
Well, Brian, when in your life did you decide that you wanted to be involved with films and screenwriting?
Yeah, I think that really started when I was about 14. My grandpa told my brother and myself, he was like, hey, we're going to make a movie this summer. And we're like, okay, because he always like loved television and that. So he wrote a script, and he had us act in it, and we made a feature film that summer, and we continued to make a feature film for the next 9 summers in a row. Each year, every film would grow, get a little bit better in budget, a little bit bigger in cast. We learned things as we went, more and more and more and more. And then eventually, we were just, you know, making films like this.
And then there was a point in time that you wanted to take it to the next level with education. And,
oh, absolutely.
When was that and where did you go?
Yeah, so after high school, since we had already made quite a few films once I was a senior in high school, but I had a very, I still can't believe it to this day, my best friends in high school were all interested in film at different areas of production. So I had a producer friend, I had an actor friend, I had a editor friend. I was always the writer, director guy. We made a perfect team. We had enough of the elements. But after senior year, my best friend and I were like, well, we want to learn more about this. So we immediately transferred, or moved to Denver and went to the Colorado Film School and did that for 4 years. And absolutely fantastic experience there. Recommend it to anybody.
Well, talk about the Colorado Film School compared to like California, because everybody thinks that to be successful, you need to immediately go out there and learn from the best there. But obviously, that you had a little bit different experience here.
Right. That might not always be the case. If you really just want to, I will tell people time and time again, film school is really about making connections with people more than anything. I mean, and then secondly, of course, is the knowledge. Like for me, I spent 4 years there, but I don't regret a second of it. A lot of people will say, oh, just go out there. You don't even need to go to school in general. But the knowledge learned is so critical and important. It was just magnificent. And the thing about the film school here in Colorado is you can get same quality education. Literally, Hollywood Reporter or Variety said this is one of the top film schools in the world, top 25 film schools in the world.
Really?
Seriously.
Right here in our backyard.
Right here in our backyard. And it's because the education is so crisp and clean. These people are the best at what they do. And you get to use the best equipment, Red Dragon cameras, which is the, you know, the best camera on the market, at no additional cost. Other film schools in California, they'll charge you a fee to rent it for your films. No additional cost at this film school.
Well, you know, I think that's incredible insight, because a lot of people that will be watching this either are in the business or would like to get into the business.
Yeah.
And I always like to find out the industry secrets. The shortcuts, the stuff that saves people a lot of brain damage that they would have to go through to really figure out what it would be. So if there was like top three secrets in the film industry, what would you share that direction, Brian?
Yeah, so I would definitely say one of them for sure. I mean, that's a good one about the film school. But another for sure is make a lot of connections with people. And something I've learned is, go into it with the mindset that you are always willing and accepting to learn. So never enter a situation just because, oh, like this guy, he's only made one movie. I know more than he does. Never walk into any situation like that. Always assume you can learn from anybody. And never burn, in my opinion, never burn bridges with people. Because Hollywood, especially, is so well connected. You can't afford to... You hear stories all the time out there, like, oh, this person made this person upset, and now they won't work with this person, and it's the trickle effect.
Right.
And you just, there's no need to. Like, if you don't like a person, okay, you don't have to work with them again. But burning bridges is just...
So don't burn bridges.
Don't burn bridges.
Okay,
I would
like
say that.
Yeah.
Another, I would say, this is one of my personal mantras, and it will lead into something that we work on every year, but if you can't find a door to an opportunity, you make your own door. And that is something, you make your own door and then walk through it. And that's something that we try to do, my company, we try to do on a daily basis. If you don't find an opportunity, create your own opportunity.
I love that, because that is one of my principles as well, is to find the ability to create opportunities. Yes. And then to maximize them.
Absolutely.
And if you put those two into play, you never have to worry about anything, because every day you wake up, you can create a new opportunity.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's great. So that exists in the film industry as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it there.
Oh, it's great. And I would say a third one is... you have to find something that makes you stand out from everyone else. You absolutely, there's so many people out there that are just making movies, like, oh, I want to make a movie. But you have to be true to you. What makes you stick out amongst the crowd? And then you have to hone in on that. So whether it's like writing or directing, people like universal stories, but they like seeing it through unique viewpoints. And you are your own unique viewpoint. Everybody has lived their own life. And then you need to use that and hone in on that in order to be successful and just stand out. A lot of people don't do that, because a lot of people will write from a perspective of what they think is going to be successful, uh-huh. but not from a perspective of their own personal mindset and then using that to influence people.
Well, as you say that, I'm thinking, as I find interest in movies or films, what makes it interesting is uniqueness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry, if you have the same plot or the same level of ingredients
and yeah.
creating it, boring,
oh,
right?
Absolutely.
So that uniqueness is interesting there.
Oh, it's fantastic. You have to.
So what's your uniqueness?
My uniqueness. I love using Puebla. I mean, it's the small town. It's the small town feeling, right? So I used part of that. It's the small town. I grew up, I worked in a grocery store, so one of my first scripts I wrote was, of course, in a grocery store. I love more than anything writing coming-of-age films, and I always bring that back to what's it like being that kid out in a small community, making films with his friends, you know, in the backyard, and really honing in on what it was like to be those kids and those people. And that's the viewpoint that I take my characters when I make films, of what it's like to be those kids and those people, and learning and falling apart and, you know, gaining their awareness. You have to hone in on that, and you have to really, I wouldn't even say it's remembering. It's really just feeling that that moment of what it was like to be that kid or whatever, you know.
Well, and Brian, I sense that with you, and that's why I'm really excited, because this really is about Pueblo.
Yes, absolutely.
And we have so many unique things about Pueblo. We have so many unique people here in Pueblo that people have no clue about.
Right.
And yet somebody that has that insight to really promote that, is exciting for this whole community, and it's Pueblo's time now.
Right. Oh, I agree.
For hundreds of years, we've been controlled.
Right.
You know, from the time that the mill came in and they had their agenda. And right. Their agenda wasn't to make Pueblo blossoming and grow, because they didn't want to have the employees have options and opportunities. You come to Pueblo, you better work at the mill.
Oh, yeah.
Then we went to a whole different group of agenda creators. And then we had the whole group of people in Pueblo that wanted to keep Pueblo small or under their control. And so all these opportunities that could have happened for us didn't.
Right.
Then you had the disaster of the flood of 21 that took us from being on the path to being the place in Colorado to being bankrupt as a community.
Right.
And we still have suffered to this day financially.
Yeah.
So now we have something that I'm going to just promote as something very unique, and that's called the Pueblo Riverwalk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Can you see this as an opportunity of doing film here at the Riverwalk? I mean, where can you find a venue like that? Anywhere. Anywhere. I'm serious.
No, seriously.
I mean, you have Central Park, but we're all kind of tired of seeing Central Park.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and all of the films and the movies and stuff. But to have that small time, the small town coming of age and being discovered and no longer being the secret, and everybody seeing all these creative, phenomenal, extraordinary gems
right.
that exist,
right.
including the history.
Oh, yeah.
Including the location, including the number of days of sunshine, the Highway 50, the I-25, the water, the Arkansas, the
right.
reservoir.
Right.
I mean, I could go on for 2 hours about what makes us so special that nobody else has bragging rights to.
Right.
So now to get this out there, people that are in this industry, how do you see maximizing Pueblo's future in what you do, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I've told people, you know, well, we've brought people here for multiple projects, and people leave, and they're just, you can't quite explain this place until you come here, until you walk the Riverwalk and you see it. And, you know, I myself hadn't been here for a year and a half, and then the other night, you know, we were out walking on the Riverwalk, and just taking that all in, there really isn't a place like this. It's its own thing.
It's its own thing.
It is.
And it's, again, back to that uniqueness.
Right.
Find it.
Right.
Find it someplace.
Right.
I mean, you have river walks down there in yeah. San Antonio and everything. Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
This, to me, has way more opportunity and potential.
Absolutely.
You have Union Avenue, which we're now working on making it a destination.
Yes.
We just got the approvals of changing the streetscape, extending the sidewalks, making it just two lanes instead of four lanes, and really creating the energy of
right.
being a destination.
Right, that's great.
And if you can see as a destination, driving on I-25, which is a quarter of a mile away from here, seeing billboards that have pictures of the Riverwalk and having 55,000 cars a day go by and people that are curious about community say, let's check this out.
Right.
And from now on, this is a place that they want to come.
I agree. You have to utilize, I mean, again, we've had projects here, but we bring people here. I think one of our goals, of course, you know, I operate out of Los Angeles, but this is where I like to work on projects. And so bringing people here, and there's so many opportunities in Pueblo, and we're trying to grow the film community. And of course, again, this is an artsy place. Pueblo is an artistic town.
Right.
So we're trying to hone in on that by kind of bringing up the projects and the people that can work on projects here. And then, of course, hopefully that increases some tourism as well, which has always been one of our goals working on our projects. But, you know.
I never realized how much the film industry is in an economic engine for communities.
Yes.
And I think New Mexico has really cashed in on that.
Absolutely.
And again, same thing, if we create that conversation and the opportunity and mm-hmm. Brian, you take it back and you're bringing these projects to them, all of a sudden the whole world sees something that they didn't know about.
Right.
And through film, you can do that.
You can do that.
Tell me about your current project.
Yes.
Well, before you do that, Story Mode.
Tell
me about the creation of Story Mode and then the current project.
Absolutely. So Story Mode Films is a company that, my best friend and I created. I guess upon leaving or at the conclusion of our film school, we realized we need to like create our own studio in that. So we did that and we made movies with that, and we did script coverage, which is kind of like, you know, somebody will give us a script and we'll kind of take notes on it and give them some feedback back. We did pop movie podcasts where we would just talk about movies and everything film-related. We had our foot in the whole film world very much. But our main project has always been the CISFA Film Festival, which is our current project. And it's an annual festival that we produce. It started out in my grandpa's basement. My brother, grandpa, and I, when we were, again, 14, 15 years old, it's just a little family. It's like, oh, guys, make some short films, and we'll just all screen them on one night. We'll give out some trophies. It'll be fun. And we did that for like 3 years, 4 years. But each year, it garnered more and more interest, and more and more people wanted to submit. And then finally, we realized, as we were submitting our own projects to film festivals, we're like, well, this is really hard. So here comes back to that make your own door thing. So we're like, let's just make our own festival. So get people who don't have as many opportunities to submit to these big festivals, let's allow their films to be seen. So we opened ourselves up and became a nationwide film festival. And now here we are in year 11. Last year, I guess it would have been 2019. We had our show, our big festival from Memorial Hall here in Pueblo, which previously we had been at the library, and that was fantastic. That was incredible growth for us. And we continue to see ourselves having our festival at Memorial Hall. In coming years, it was fantastic. Everyone loved it. And you know what? We've grown this thing. I couldn't have done it without the team. It has such a solid team. We work together as a fantastic unit. And we've built this thing again from our grandpa's basement where we had 15 people. And now we have people from all around the United States come to Pueblo to partake in this two-day festival. In fact, in 2019, we had somebody come all the way from Chile to be here for our festival. And that was just so impressive to us that somebody from another country came here to partake in this. And the main takeaway that when they all left was, wow, what an amazing place. What an amazing, great, you know, place to be creative and to create, and the opportunities here. People wanted, they couldn't wait to come back. And then, of course, we had the pandemic. So that pushed everything back. But we are extremely excited to continue this event in the coming years here.
Well, you know, you chose Memorial Hall as a venue, which is phenomenal in itself.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, it's gone through some massive millions and millions of dollars of renovation.
Yes.
Again, it's one of the most ideal places because we have a lot of top-name entertainment come here.
Yeah.
And people don't realize when they're in Denver, Pueblo's just right next door.
Right.
And I've had people tell me that this is better than the venue they were at in Denver.
Oh, I believe it.
Just with the sound and the feel, the excitement, the energy, and it brings those names here to Pueblo where we don't have to go anywhere but right here.
Right. Oh, it's fantastic. Again, like the people, the filmmakers that came in, you know, we had filmmakers in this last year come in from New Mexico, Texas, Los Angeles, New York, of course, Chile. There's a couple different states, and you know they came, and it's a different. We try to bring a different film festival approach. There's so many film festivals. There's thousands of film festivals all across the world, but we try to do something a little bit different than the others. You know, you can go to any film festival anywhere in America and sit down in a screen and be like, "Oh, this was cool," and then you leave and you talk about the movie. We don't do that. We have screenings. But everything revolves around a show. We celebrate film. We don't just watch it. It's here at our festival. We celebrate it.
Really?
So
interesting.
We try to take it as a celebration of film. So everything kind of revolves around our main show that we would have at Memorial Hall. And it's not just a screening. It's a show. We create a story with actors on stage and performers. And we build a story around the whole festival. And usually we have a theme. So our theme for this year is Be True to You. And we create a story around that. And we use that on-stage story. And we integrate that with the films, with awards. And we get the audience involved in it. So they're part of the show.
Wow.
It's not something that nobody else has done, to my knowledge.
We're back to the uniqueness.
Back to the uniqueness.
I love that.
You have to. And people appreciate that. And something that, as a festival director, I think that's something that my entire team can say that we're most proud of is that people leave saying they have never seen anything like this, and they are excited to come back. that for me keeps me going. That's it.
That's it, right there in a nutshell. I mean, anybody who's creating something to have that type of feedback is priceless.
Right.
So how many films will you be reviewing and celebrating, I guess, would be a better word.
Yeah. So this year, it was a hard decision. We went back and forth on it. But because of the pandemic, this current festival season is going to be, for our first time, primarily online. It's going to be digital format, something we've never done before. Our story is going to be online. So we really actually, this is exciting for us because this, now that it's online, we hope to be able to reach even more people as opposed to just the local crowd and bringing people in. Now we have the opportunity for the entire United States to tune in if, you know, upon advertising, right? But back to your question, this year the films, we have a unique panel of judges from Los Angeles. They watch all the films and the highest rated make it into the main show and then the bottom kind of trickle down into the other screenings. So we have four main screenings in our main show. I think this year we have 25 films that we're screening across all the events. The main show has 10. And then the others, we have a feature screening. Pueblo, we try to in one of our showcases, feature Pueblo talent. So we look out for that. We get a lot of Pueblo submissions. And this year we actually happen to have, I believe, 3 Pueblo films that made the festival. One talking about the art connections in Pueblo. Two about art connections in Pueblo, people being creative and like-minded. Both very interesting films. And then the third was a pilot that was shot at Watertower Place. Most of the film is completely green screen, and it's a feature. It's a space-like epic called Into the Void.
Really?
Yes, very exciting stuff. And we have the pleasure of screening that as well. But, oh my gosh, these films are some of the best we've ever received this year. It was so hard to narrow it down. It's just incredible talent from everywhere. And unfortunately, I mean, we hope to grow more in days so that we have more opportunity to screen more films, but the talent is just unbelievable.
Well, Brian, when is the date for the film festival?
Yeah, so this year it's August 26th to the 28th. We are actually launching like a soft little Thursday open, but it's the 26th to the 28th of August. Again, primarily online. SISFAFest.com is our main hub for, you can check out all the films there, see what's going to be playing, the festival schedule. We still plan on having, we normally have 8 festival events, and we still kind of plan on having all of those, mostly now in a digital format, even connecting online. After parties are huge for after fest because you can connect with people.
That's where it's at.
We still need that. We have digital ways now after the film screenings for people to still gather so they can still connect and talk to one another, because connection and building those connections so that you can continue to create new content is key. You know, at some of our previous festivals, we've had people from New York and California talking like, oh, like what can we work on together? And that's what it's about. That's what it's about.
Well, you said an interesting word, and that is content.
Yes.
And content is king.
Yes.
And unique content is priceless.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think as you're creating these things, people are going to be asking themselves, how do I create unique content? And if I have that, how do I connect that with you?
Right. Well, that's a good question. But I think, again, you need to hone in on what makes you, number one, and then find the people that also have the same goal or similar goal, a similar mindset, I think. And I think I've aligned myself with people that have like goals, like mindsets, and you really have to connect to those people and then work on something that you all believe in. If your team, I've worked with teams before who like, maybe somebody doesn't like really believe in the story and they have their different idea. And what you're really just gonna be doing is butting heads. And you know, I've been very lucky, though, to have mainly worked with people that all do share the same goal, and the same dream, and the same idea. And if you can all believe in the same, it all comes back to story, of course, I'm a screenwriter. If you can all believe in the same story and want to share that story, then you're going to have a magical final product, magical piece of content.
Well, you know, we're coming out of the time's going to be important, and I want to ask a couple questions about the current film.
Yeah.
When I say current film in the film industry in Los Angeles, what changes are they going through now, especially after the pandemic and just the whole shift in how things are being done? What's a big shift in Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah. Like, everything before the... you know, a lot of my friends out there, you know, they were out every day working on a project before the pandemic. And then once the pandemic hit, literally everything, I mean, this was the world, but Los Angeles just completely shut down. I mean, the streets were like ghost towns. Nobody knew what to do. A lot of people just took to working on their content from home. I mean, full movies, feature movies, Hollywood movies were being edited from people's houses. They had to turn their entire houses into sound stages. You know, one of my good friends, their whole place of, they did sound work, sound editing, their whole building shut down, and they all just completely moved permanently their studios home to their each individual homes. And so a lot of people just, we're no longer working in offices. Our offices are our homes now, which is...
Which is here, because this is my home right here that we're doing this in.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy.
And why not?
And why not, though? Because
you
can.
And why change to go back to the old-fashioned way when this really is the way of the future?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, a lot of writers in that, a lot of people, a lot of artistic people, you know, in the early stages of the pandemic, what do we do? You know, how can I write when there's so much bleak and dreariness going on? But a lot of people took that to heart, and you know, I tried myself as well. You got to stay creative. That's another key, I think, another thing we share with CISFA is you have to. We told our filmmakers and our fans for CISFA when we closed last year is during this time you have to find ways to stay creative, and I think a large majority of people have. There's so many more unique opportunities for visual mediums that people have created. I mean, there's outlets like TikTok, these kids making videos on these video services,
right?
That's a way for people to stay creative. You know, people are finding outlets that didn't exist before. And people in Hollywood, they had to adapt, you know? Meetings are Zoom meetings now. People don't meet in person anymore. That's still going on. Things are just now opening up. Film productions are taking place with protocols. There are COVID protocols in place. There are safety officers whose job it is primarily to make sure that COVID rules are being followed on every film set. That's their job. But it's just all a part of making sure that things are getting done safely and that we can all go back to, I wouldn't say we're going back. I'd say it's a new normal.
Well, the new normal, the paradigm shift, all of these things now is history being created as we speak.
Yes.
And we're not talking about history, we're talking about a paradigm shift in history.
Yes.
And it's kind of exciting for us to be part of that, and that's why Pueblo Riverwalk Talk is such an exciting thing for me, because we can talk about the history as it's changing right now, at what the new normals are going to be.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it really is something that I'm glad to be part of it. I'm glad to be alive in this part of time,
right.
You know, a lot of people are stressed over it, but I think if you look at what has happened as new opportunities and how I can be part of the creativity of the new opportunities that wouldn't be existing if things wouldn't have had changed to the way that they have.
Right.
So it's, and now's the time.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So closing thoughts, Brian?
Closing thoughts. Yes. I say, again, this is kind of going back. You have to, and this is something I remind myself on a daily basis, just to kind of get myself, you know, you got to stay in it. You got to stay unique, you got to stay creative, and you got to stay active. Stagnation will get you absolutely nowhere. And that might be
You might get mosquitoes with stagnation.
right. You might.
and that's really how it really is.
You know what, seriously. Yeah. You have to, you can't afford those little outside interferences like mosquitoes. You have to keep going. You have to keep trudging through the water, because if you don't, you're gonna drown, right? You can't do that. You have to keep trudging, and you have to keep forging your path.
And I think with that, one of my important principles in life is never make a decision based off of fear.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And people now need to get out of the fear. They need to get into a place of creativity and excitement and passion mm-hmm. for what's available instead of licking wounds or feeling bad about the right. way what's happened.
Right.
And if people can do that, you'll see the energy light up the universe here.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly.
So contact information for people to get a hold of you, Brian, and all these different venues that you've got going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go to storymodefilms.com to see about our company, sisfafest.com, that's sisfafest.com, that you can learn all about our upcoming festival. We're on Facebook, Story Mode Films on Facebook. Me, I'm on email, bmsalay, S-A-L-A-Y, at gmail.com. It's probably the best way to reach me. But
And phone number.
Phone number, yes. You know what? I take a million calls a day. People love this. California, I still got the same Colorado number. Like, yeah. Wow, that's unique.
Yeah.
719-248-9792. And they're like, wow, that's crazy.
Oh, great. Well, Brian, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you.
And I know you're heading back to LA today.
Yes, indeed.
So, again, enjoy your final moments here in Colorado.
I will. Thank you
so
much.
And looking forward to the film festival and your time in spending with us here today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. This is Pueblo Riverwalk Talk, and again, we'll see you at our next interview.